CH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Instead of agreeing to the rare mid-decade congressional redistricting that would likely let Republicans pick up five more seats next year, Texas Democrats have left the state. They spent the night in Chicago. ABC senior White House correspondent Selena Wang.
Critics of this MAC say that it is suppressing voters of color by splitting up their vote across Republican districts. And Democratic Representative Jasmine Crockett is calling the map discriminatory, saying that she's been drawn out of the district where she lives.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott threatening to have them removed from office if the Democrats don't return. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff, leaving Israel without any major announcements, could now be headed to Russia for new talks on ending the war in Ukraine. More than 3,000 union members at Boeing facilities in St. Louis, St. Charles, Missouri, and Muskoka, Illinois are on strike after overwhelmingly rejecting the company's latest offer. Dry conditions continuing to fuel dozens of wildfires in the West. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Pamela Anderson has been married 5 times. Once to Tommy Lee, once to Robbie Ritchie, also known as Kid Rock, twice to a professional poker player, and only 1 time to some guy named Dan. She must love marriage. One of the few men she did not marry was former Superman actor Dean Cain. Last week, Cain said he and Anderson's relationship fizzled for one reason. I know what you're thinking. It's because she was too busy getting married to other men. But no. But Cain says that's not why. He says things didn't last because he was never into life in the fast lane, and Anderson was. That, along with the fact that she got married every other week, was probably a hindrance. Cain did have a lot of good things to say about Anderson. Pamela Anderson has revived her career and has gotten serious about the craft of acting. She received rave reviews for Showgirl and currently stars in The Naked Gun with Liam Neeson. They were, quote, caught, end quote, on the set of The Tonight Show, making out. Yes, the two are dating, unless they've already married by the time of this airing. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers head to Atlanta. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers open a series against the Braves. Milwaukee beating the Nationals yesterday 14-3 to complete a 3-game sweep. Manager Pat Murphy says adding new talent like infielders Anthony Ziegler, Caleb Durbin, or trading for Brandon Lockridge is keeping them competitive.
You look at Lockridge and Ziegler, and they don't have very many Major League ABs, so once again, I go back to their hunger. They want to impress. They want to be here. And then Durbin's been on the bench a couple days, so he's like, wait a minute, and that matters. You know, Ortiz finding himself. So all that is collectively a healthy situation when you have young, hungry players.
NFL, the Packers taking a day off from practice. Then they get ready to host the New York Jets Saturday night. Overall, Matt LaFleur pleased with the work they got done on family night.
I think everybody's juices are flowing to get to our preseason games and get the Jets here next week.
That's the Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I guarantee you there's a market for people who want to watch a middle-aged guy change his clothes, do his dishes. People are so bored and will look at anything. So what I thought could be fun, and Conrad, I need your okay on this. I would never, you know, volunteer you for this, but you and I should both set up OnlyFans page and see who gets more followers.
I'm okay on that. I don't think
he's
I'll
blushing.
Sign.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday morning, Up North News reporter Selena Heller will talk to Jimmy Cuska, Jane Mattiner,
and me.
Oh, that's Dr. Kristen Lierley. She'll be here too.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires happening today. Otherwise, partly cloudy with a high right around 79 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We'll drop to 58 for a low. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, Heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman will join us to break down all the weekend news. We go beyond the cheese with Poppy Bakery. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Good morning and welcome to the Midwest Farm Report on a Monday. I'm Stephanie Hoff, filling in for Farm Director Pam Yonke. She's making her way back home today from her farm tour in the Canadian Rockies. And what a good time to come back to Wisconsin. Beautiful weather ahead as we gear up for the team's state fair visit this evening, the Century and Sesquicentennial Farm Breakfast at State Fair Park tomorrow morning, and Wisconsin Farm Technology Days in Bear Creek Tuesday through Thursday. Stu Muck joins us later this morning with full forecast details. We've got a big show in store for you today. Policy updates are coming from both the state and the national scenes. We're also featuring a lot of entertainment news. Ben Jarbo has a story on what we can expect at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days in terms of family fun. And we also talk with talent buyers for county fairs. Do you know what it takes to bring in big name artists? We're talking about all of it right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Join the Midwest Farm Report on Wednesday, August 6th at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. Starting at 9 a.m., visit us at the Rank Seeds booth, number 616, near the food court, for a special hat exchange. Bring your hat and stop by to say hello and get a new hat. Tell them the farm team sent you.
We'll also be broadcasting at 11:30 a.m. in booth 669 on Central Avenue with Rural Mutual Insurance. Learn how the number one farm insurer is keeping Wisconsin strong with premiums paid here that stay here. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers. Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The one big, beautiful bill making a difference as far as food programs, farmers markets, other projects like that out in the countryside. Bob Osel from the northern end of the world's longest barn with Lane Cozzolino, who is the director of special projects with the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Farmers markets, food pantries fall under her purview. And Lane, have we seen the bottom yet? We've seen cuts already, but what kind of things are you hearing from people that are involved in the food projects, Feed My People, whatever the case may be, as far as what they're looking at down the road as far as these cuts?
Back in March, we experienced a pretty immediate shift with the federal funding coming to local food system work. That's kind of how we refer to it. So that's meaning that working with local farmers to get food directly to community members. And specifically, you talked about Feed My People and food pantries, and that work was being funded through a couple of COVID-era programs. One of them was the Local Food Purchase Assistance Program, and it had been in existence for 2 years. Our state had moved more than $4 million of farm products into food access organizations. So food security, feeding people who needed food in Wisconsin. But not only that, it also was developing mechanisms for resiliency within our food supply. So when COVID hit, we noticed that there was shelves that were going empty. So one of the reasons for this federal funding in the first place was to strengthen the food supply chain locally, because we've really become dependent on a global supply chain. But when you have hiccups in that, what does it do to community? And so the localized food system and what that money was really doing was connecting food that's grown here with the people who live here. It's not that people expected that money to be here forever. It was relief funding, but we had signed contracts, the state government had signed contracts to continue it through 2027. So when the money was just kind of pulled away, people had already been planning their crops, they had already decided what they were going to grow, they had in some cases gotten it, you know, already seeded, or they had already started raising animals that they thought were going to move through this program, and animals take a lot longer to raise. So when we saw it be cut, abruptly, that left farmers and also the food security organizations in a lurch, wondering, okay, well, now where is all of that food going to come from? Or who's going to buy this food now that we've already said we're going to raise it or grow it?
How far down the line are we with making some of those decisions? Because this is not that long ago that we found out about this funding being taken away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we now are into the growing season. So we're here in Wisconsin. Our growing season kind of goes, you know, we start putting things in the ground in April and then pulling them out until November, or we're raising animals all year round. So I feel like we've felt the effects of people either having some excess, but also more about communities coming together to try to figure out how do we collaborate on a local level to still move this food and get it to the people who need it, or find institutional opportunities. You know, part of what is valuable is we've grown the network, and so we've depended on each other to now figure out new routes. We went to the state legislature, asked them to fund local food systems so that when the federal money doesn't go away, how can our states support with the surplus that we had? How can we support that those programs and continue them on for our residents? While the program I talked about, the Local Food Purchase Assistance Program, we call it LFPA, was not funded in the budget, it did end up being a bipartisan bill, and the governor worked to make sure that food security initiatives were funded at a lower level than the organizations were asking for, but they were able to get $10 million. Now those organizations are to use with local farmers in order to buy food. So there are some now some intermediaries that are going to play a role in continuing to see this happen. And then again, on a local level, we're trying to collaborate to see how do we support each other through times like these.
$10 million one-time funding. We're going to have to continue to go back to the assembly to get more every year or every 2 years?
So every 2 years is how that's funded. We also have talked about a standalone bill that would continue to be funded or would be looked at each year. But I do believe that this is just in the budget. It's not a standalone bill. So it's not something that maybe would go on forever. But I think that what we were able to show, and I think is so exciting about Wisconsin and what we've been working on for 25 years, is that we have done so much to create those intentional networks that now we can show a lot of stability that if it's supported, we're making good on it. We're doing efficient work. And I think that in the time of DOGE or in the time of questioning whether or not government is efficient, when that money came into Wisconsin, we put it into action right away. Some states had some of that federal money that they were slower to implement and get out into community. We weren't. We were able to make it happen because we've been building these regional and local food chains for 25 years. And because Wisconsin has such a strong agricultural history and of small farms that have been supported, and we have agriculture of all sizes, that made us a real player in how this looks nationally, and I think someone to look toward for how to do it well.
Bottom line is to get the food to the people that need it. But again, you mentioned farmers are growing their crops or raising the animals. Do we have solid alternatives for those animals now? Has anybody stepped up and said, we will process, we will get it out? What kind of networking have we done? And are there some areas of the state that are going to be more vulnerable to maybe food insecurity than others?
Yeah, I mean, I think that from the food security organization perspective, having this food and the type of food that was being delivered, I think is also a really important piece of that. So, you know, if you think about changes over time with what actual food security organizations are getting, this was fresh food. This is meat that a lot of times you're not having a lot of meat come through pantries. So it was a different type of food. So not only was it local, not only was it raised in their community, but it was really nutrient dense, good food. And so, yes, you are seeing that. And that's all across the state. We hit with our program 72 counties. Every county was receiving food from this program that they're not receiving anymore. And from the farmer side, you know, they are just, they're business owners. So they're looking to now fill and find new markets for their product. Some of them are going back to farmers markets where maybe they were before, or trying to get local restaurants to buy. So, you know, when you lose, a lot of times you have to have diversified revenue streams in a business. And so, but some of this was also about building new farmers or beginning farmers. And so when you have contracted with them, people think contracts stay. You think that that's going to be something that's going to be in place. And so it did put people in a lurch. And so we're still doing things. We've created a website called the Local Food Directory. The Farm Fresh Atlas is a way that people can find and buy local food to support these people who have now lost part of their livelihood from these programs being cut. Also for businesses, there's a wholesale platform that they can go on to buy from local farmers through REAP Food Group out of Madison. It's still building the inventory, but you know, there is traction, but it's never great to be behind the ball on something. And that's what this, you know, immediate cut did, was put us into, you know, where we had no time, and now we're just reacting instead of being proactive about trying to grow to market instead of being, yeah. Grow.
And this is early in the process, but what have you found from talking to food pantries and food outlets around the state? Have we lost any already? Are some just saying we can't do it without that funding? How serious is it as far as what you're hearing of losing some of these operations that do feed the public close to home?
What I've heard is that people have, and this is anecdotally, but I have at least a story of one pantry who had to just reduce their hours. They couldn't offer the same amount of services that they could before.
The same amount of food?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why. So they had to reduce their hours because they didn't have enough food to serve as many people on as many days as they were before. So they reduced their hours so that then they could only serve one day for the amount of people that were coming back. That specific day, instead of being open for 4 days where people could come. So I think that there's also some interest that we thought, oh, well, if we can go to philanthropy to try to ask them, but they don't want to also fill gaps that they don't know, you know, aren't going to be replaced other places, or that they can't just fill gaps. And so I think that now it is coming together to say, how do we look at long-term? What do we do to feed communities? How do we be really well connected and continue to communicate so that we can, you know, get food onto people's plates?
At this point in time, it's a real tightening the belt scenario, that's for sure, with reduced to eliminating funding from the federal government. The state has stepped in, but that might only be temporary. We'll find out as we go along. People are hungry and they need fresh food, and that's what's been provided. Will it continue? We'll wait and see. Lane Cozzolino is with us, special project coordinator with the Wisconsin Farmers Union. And again, she's not going to run out of work anytime soon. From the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Americans really like voting by mail and in-person early voting. That, according to 2024 statistics from the U.S. Election Assistance Commission. According to EAC, 158,211,780 citizens voted out of 211,144,275 active registered voters, a 74.8% turnout, 3 points lower than 2020. Among the 158 million voters, 52.8 million voted in person on Election Day. But far more Americans voted early, with 46.8 million voting early by mail and almost 48.9 million voting early in person. Mail-in voting accounted for 30.3% of votes cast, with some states offering universal mail balloting or permanent mail or absentee lists. Over 15 million ballots were returned via drop boxes in 36 states, up 10% since 2022. The percentage of in-person Election Day voters dropped in 2024 to only 37.4%, while in-person early voting jumped to 35.2%. The combination of mail and early in-person totaled 65.5%. It's clear that early voting is here to stay. We've linked to the report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Chihuahua.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome actor and producer of the Door Kinetic Arts Festival, Alan Kopischke, into the studio. Then Appleton Bookstore owner, Kaylin Bavink, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Chihuahua. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH. Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Is that expected to blow away anytime soon?
Oh, unfortunately, Stephanie, I can't say it's going to be gone. You know, we're not going to clear it out with a big storm or anything like that. And I don't think you're alone. I know we had a fireman's picnic this weekend, and there were a lot of folks who spent a lot of time outdoors and probably are feeling some of the effects of that smokiness that was around. A great deal of smoke in store. In fact, the air quality advisory statewide in Wisconsin, at least until noon today. Don't be surprised if it gets extended, because that smoke is still going to linger right on through today, tonight, tomorrow, right on to midweek as well. It's finally toward midweek that we may begin to see a little weather. There's a front stationary off to the north of the U.S.-Canadian border, not providing any kind of an issue for us, but there is some very light rain in central and northern parts of Minnesota. Hit or miss, a few scattered showers there. There could be a little of that edging just into far northwest Wisconsin yet this morning. That's about it. Not going to amount to anything else. Otherwise, generally, some pretty dry weather in store the next several days. By late Wednesday or into Thursday, some shower chance finally starting to build in with the advance of that rain chance. Of course, expect that humidity levels are going to rise right on through today, tomorrow, Wednesday into Thursday. Temps rising as well. In fact, by the end of the week, upper 80s. There could be a 90 reported in Wisconsin by the end of the week. So warm and sticky again by week's end. Maybe a little rain chance to bring some of that in, and possibly some rain a little later in the weekend as well. But it looks like that really warm summertime weather is going to brew right back up and move right in here as we head on through this week. And we're going to have to deal with some smoke along with that as well. So less than ideal conditions for outdoor work. But there's plenty of work to be done. Hay to be made, grain being harvested right now all around Wisconsin. A few more dry days certainly are going to be a real benefit as we get a lot more of that crop work taken care of. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Get insurance from a company who knows Wisconsin and cares about your community. You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home and auto rates? Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more about products and discounts.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Gosh, other than the smoke in the air, I really couldn't be happier with the forecast for tonight and tomorrow morning at the Wisconsin State Fair, and then into Wisconsin Farm Tech Days, at least until the stickiness comes.
Yep, it will be more hot and sticky later on this week, no doubt there. The air quality advisory in effect until noon. Our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update does call for smoke and hazy smoke and the like. Mostly sunny in a good part of the state. More clouds in the northwest. Park Falls and Hayward, you'll be a little more cloudy here today. I expect temps in the very upper 70s there and low 80s elsewhere, right around 80. And I'd expect winds to become more east about 5 today. Partly cloudy, some smoke overnight. Upper 50s and low 60s with east breezes. Smoke on Tuesday, but sunshine a little warmer. 80 in the north, maybe low 80s elsewhere with east winds still about 5. And more sunshine on Wednesday. Probably pushing into the mid-80s in the south, low 80s north. Winds become south at 5. And Stephanie, maybe that rain chance holds off until the last day of Farm Tech Days. And we hope then maybe a scattered shower could be it. Should be a good run.
It should be. Are you going to be there, Stu?
I wish I could, but I don't think it's going to fit the schedule.
You're a busy man. Thank you, Stu Buck, for our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. You can visit Compeer.com. Hey, the farm team will be at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days on Wednesday and into Thursday. We're looking forward to that as well. Hey, we've got conversations on MAHA and a Farm Tech Days update coming your way next.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent Pam Yonke appearance on John and Gordy.
How about breakfast on the farm?
Yeah.
How did that go?
First of all, thanks to all the volunteers. Thanks to everybody that showed up. They were guessing north of 5,000 people that were there starting at 7 a.m.
Wow.
Got a chance to have a pancake. I looked down to eat my pancake. I looked back up, and all of a sudden there was a swarm of humanity waiting to stream into the machine shed for breakfast. So I thought it was really interesting to see what people are gravitating towards. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously the cows. The cows are the big attraction. Everybody wants to see them and kind of get a little perspective on how big they are.
Yeah.
But it was also cute to see they had three barn kitties, and kids could line up to hold the barn kitties.
Oh.
I mean, babies of any kind are cute, but when you put barn kitties with little kids, it was just, if you want to see the pictures, I've got some up at Midwest Farm Report and Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook. But it was really well done. Third time that the Hinchleys had hosted it. Mm. So again, like we said, really, really well done for sure.
All right.
That's excellent. You know, Cambridge is quite a nice little town.
It is.
Been through there a number of times.
Yeah. Now, we did talk about the artisan butter last week.
Right.
Well, now let's talk about the food and beverage innovation camp that's going on. Kekoman is putting this in.
Well, they're part of it. So I didn't know that this was going on. If you live or have drive through the Jefferson area. So what they're calling this is a food and beverage innovation campus. And what they're doing, Jefferson County, I don't know if you're aware, is home to quite a few different food companies. Nestle Food is down there. There's a lot of different food-related companies.
Jones,
and now they've decided to try to bring them all together in this food and beverage innovation campus.
Mm-hmm.
Kekoman is the first to financially commit to building their factory there, and that's already underway. According to the economic development people that are connected with it, they said they've already invested about $563 million to create this welcoming area. And one of the reasons why Jefferson is so well suited for this is the workforce. That's something that Jefferson touted for a long time, and they want to continue to bank on that. So this looks like it is very well supported, not only in Jefferson County as far as public monies, but also as far as the agribusinesses and food companies that are interested in coming there. The next phase after they get started with the actual brick and mortar of the food manufacturing side of things, we'll be focusing in on creating the residential element for all the employees that these companies are going to be needing. They said they know that they're out there, but they want to make sure they're close to where they're going to have to work. So that'll be the next phase.
That's great.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Instead of agreeing to the rare mid-decade congressional redistricting that would likely let Republicans pick up five more seats next year, Texas Democrats have left the state. They spent the night in Chicago. ABC senior White House correspondent Selena Wang.
Critics of this MAC say that it is suppressing voters of color by splitting up their vote across Republican districts. And Democratic Representative Jasmine Crockett is calling the map discriminatory, saying that she's been drawn out of the district where she lives.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott threatening to have them removed from office if the Democrats don't return. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff, leaving Israel without any major announcements, could now be headed to Russia for new talks on ending the war in Ukraine. More than 3,000 union members at Boeing facilities in St. Louis, St. Charles, Missouri, and Muskoday, Illinois are on strike after overwhelmingly rejecting the company's latest offer. Dry conditions continuing to fuel dozens of wildfires in the West. This is ABC News.
The Brewers head to Atlanta. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers open a series against the Braves. Milwaukee beating the Nationals yesterday 14-3 to complete a three-game sweep. Manager Pat Murphy says adding new talent like infielders Anthony Ziegler, Caleb Durbin, or trading for Brandon Lockridge is keeping them competitive.
You look at Lockridge and Ziegler, and they don't have very many Major League ABs, so once again, I go back to their hunger. They want to impress. They want to be here. And then Durbin's been on the bench a couple days, so he's like, wait a minute, and that matters. You know, Ortiz finding himself. So all that is collectively a healthy situation when you have young, hungry players.
NFL, the Packers taking a day off from practice. Then they get ready to host the New York Jets Saturday night. Overall, Matt LaFleur pleased with the work they got done on family night.
I think everybody's juices are flowing to get to our preseason games and get the Jets here next week.
That's the Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us Monday for an important show. Measles is on the rise. Vaccinations are down. We talk to the folks at Wisconsin Watch and what that means for you. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
We have more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires happening today. Otherwise, partly cloudy with a high right around 79 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We'll drop to 58 for a low. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Todd Alba Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to an interview with Clean Wisconsin's Amy Berrio. She discusses how the Wisconsin Supreme Court's ruling on a legislative committee's power could affect drinking water in rural communities.
So PFAS are a group of chemicals that are used on everyday products like nonstick cookware. They have tons of uses. They are found everywhere. And some of these are extremely toxic. They've been found to be toxic at very low levels in the parts per trillion. So there are starting to be drinking water standards and water standards for PFAS. PFAS are regulated under the Safe Drinking Water Act. So for municipalities, they are following the current Safe Drinking Water Act standards. But if you live in a community like Peshtigo or Marinette or French Camp or some of these other ones in rural Wisconsin that have experienced extremely high levels of PFAS in their drinking water, they are getting their drinking water from private wells. Those are not governed by the Safe Drinking Water Act. In Wisconsin, groundwater standards, so basically they get their drinking water from the aquifer, it's considered groundwater. Those are the standards that will help folks who are dealing with huge amounts of PFAS contamination in their groundwater, in their drinking water wells. And we don't have groundwater standards for PFAS in Wisconsin. The DNR pursued a groundwater standard. Time ran out on that, and now they're planning to pursue it again. Again, you know, the DNR up until today is thinking, how are we going to get this groundwater standard around these handful of folks at JCRAR? Now that the Supreme Court has made that ruling, we are incredibly hopeful that there will be a standard that gets through finally the rulemaking process. It's still going to take a long time because, again, they have to start all over with this process. It's a meaningful standard, some that are actually at levels that will protect people. Now, with respect to PFAS as a topic, as something that we need to get a hold of in this state and in this country, it is incredibly complex because you have PFAS that are in biosolids that are spread on farm fields. You have PFAS in almost every piece of furniture around us, continually made in consumer products. And the reason why they have the nickname forever chemicals is because they don't break down in the environment. So that means they only have a few places to go: in our air, in our water, and in our soil. So these rules are incredibly important to start to at least take care of the urgent problem, like the people in Peshtigo and Marinette and other communities all across the state are facing. But taking care of the fire isn't the same as taking care of the problem. And we've got an enormous problem on our hands with PFAS. It's going to take far beyond any rulemaking to address, considering how pervasive these chemicals are and how harmful they can be.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff, and you're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. What a great week ahead of us between the Wisconsin State Fair in West Allis. That's happening through August 10th. The Midwest Farm Report team is heading there this afternoon. We've also got Wisconsin Farm Technology Days in Bear Creek. This is Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We'll have some previews later in the hour of what entertainment is going to look like this year at the show at Clinton Farms. But first, let's take a look at the old Farmer's Almanac this morning. Based on the moon's sign, the almanac says Monday, August 4th, is a good day to prune to encourage growth. Need those vines longer or that tree fuller? Today is supposed to be a good day for pruning maintenance to make that happen. It's also a good day to straighten your hair. And if you've got vacation plans this week, it's a good day to go camping. That's according to the old Farmer's Almanac. There's a lot of county fair fun to be had yet this summer and into September. Oftentimes, music is a key attraction. We're catching up with Chris Hesse and Melissa Wolken from Variety Attractions in Ohio. They are entertainment consultants and talent buyers for fairs and festivals across the Midwest. And they tell us what's hot this year for county fair entertainment.
A lot of this, the new trend is kind of the Red Dirt Texas bands that are drawing a lot of interest through TikTok and that kind of thing. But I've been seeing the trends going toward Red Dirt more.
What does that mean?
It's Texas-based bands that like Treaty Oak Revival, Whiskey Myers, Old 60s, and a new one that's up. It's just Texas bands that have always been popular in the southern states, but now they're moving up north into the Midwest and northern eastern United States.
Your traditional country, but with a little bit of a rock flair. Very true to their lyrics. They're a lot of songwriter. They really put a lot of energy into their song and then the lyrics. And so it's touching a new audience because they're paying attention to more than just the radio, which is also very important. So we appreciate you. But like Chris said, it's TikTok, it's social media, it's Instagram, Spotify. And we've had a lot of artists telling us that they're not just knowing one or two songs when they come to a concert. They're knowing the whole album. So that's a new trend, too, is that they're getting to hear everything all at once instead of one hit at one time or one release at a time.
We have some generation gaps here, but all generations are coming to the fair. So when a fair board approaches you, how do you guide them into saying, here are some options that are going to meet a lot of preferences?
And I'm seeing also, I told you about the Red Dirt music, but also the 90s country is coming back strong with the younger kids. So Tracy Byrds, the Tracy Lawrences, the Lone Stars that had hits after hits, and the fairs are seeing they want a show that's all hits, not one or two hits and then a bunch of cover songs. So they're looking at those type of acts that they can have a whole 75 minutes of number one songs that they've seen.
Is country king, though, the general country genre? Does that remain king among our county fairs?
I would say, yeah, with the fairs. You have some fairs that want, like, your tribute bands, or they're getting to that classic rock. And then it just depends on, like you said, the generation gap with the trends that we're seeing on fair boards right now, with the kind of the older generation leaving the boards and the newer generation coming on. They're asking for that variety. And so what we do is we work with the boards on what's available in their price range and in their budget, and then consult them on what would do well if they're selling tickets. And then that way they ultimately make the decision. We just help guide them in the direction that would be the best for their fair.
What are we looking at in terms of a price tag?
You know, all your big names, you know, are $1 million and more, and your mid-level acts are anywhere from, you know, 50 to 200,000. But any of your big names are, you know, close to $1 million anymore.
And all the up-and-comers are kind of in that, you know, $20,000 range or less, or even 20 to 50. And then they're growing really quickly. That's a new trend we're seeing, is they're getting really popular really quickly. And so their prices are changing really quickly. And there's also the cost that goes into the production. It's not just the band itself. They got it catering. You have your lights and sound, the stage. There's a lot of different elements that go into putting on a show. And that's what we help our fairs with, too.
The fair needs to be able to confirm that they will be able to pay that bill, though. That's kind of an unknown, right?
Yes, but a lot of the fairs you take weather insurance, because usually your main problem is in the summertime is rain, lightning, that kind of thing. So the fairs are insuring themselves. So if something like that happens, the insurance covers it. So that's a very important thing you need to do now with the cost of the acts.
Sponsorships are really important too. That helps offset the costs as well. So getting bigger name sponsors and letting them know what their money's going towards. So if you can put it towards a specific show, then they're more likely to help you out with that money.
So how are you guys connected then to the artists? How is Variety Attractions that bridge between county fair and celebrity?
Well, we attend all the shows that we book. And that way we're kind of the middle person between the artist and the fair, that to see that everything goes okay that day of the show and everybody gets what they're supposed to get. But we're just kind of the in-between person to be sure the show goes off smoothly.
We've been in business since 1961, and we just have really grown a nice network of people that we work with throughout the country, Nashville, Texas, and all over, that we have those relationships that we can build on and be the go-to person for our fairs, so that they have time to focus on things, the other things going on at the fair, and then we can really concentrate on the show side for them.
Over the years since 1961, there's had to have been a standout moment, something that moved you, or a positive story of what bringing this entertainment to communities across Wisconsin, across the U.S. means.
I think what I get out of it over the 33 years I've been doing this is the joy I see when a big name comes in and the fair has 10,000 people there and everybody's made money and smiles on the faces. And I said, that's the most rewarding thing I see over the years I've done it.
Some of these people are creating lifelong memories at the fair, listening to your acts.
Yeah. And then when I go back, I mean, we've had accounts for years and years, and it's like a family reunion when you go back to the fair each summer, see the kids grow up and see them showing their livestock and everything. So, you know, it's a kind of a family affair over the years.
Anything else I should be asking you about what it takes to bring a concert to a county fair?
I think that what people don't realize, it's just not bringing the artist in. It's like Melissa said, it's you got to provide sound, stage, food for them all, because they're traveling in a bus, making 8, 9, 10 hour jumps between shows. They don't have the time to stop, so you have to feed them and stuff like that. So I think there's a lot that goes into it that people don't realize.
Security, bathrooms, you know, all the things that, you know, because when they come to your venue, that backstage area is their home. And so you want to keep them safe in that area and just make sure that they feel welcome, but also protected.
Chris Hesse and Melissa Wolken joining us from Variety Attractions. Stick around for market news coming next.
Rising energy costs impacting your farm's profits?
Focus on Energy is here to help with increased incentives for energy efficient upgrades in 2025. Save money and energy for years to come.
Take the first step toward lowering utility bills. Call 800-762-7077 or visit focusonenergy.com/agribusiness today.
That's focusonenergy.com/agribusiness. Focus on Energy, proudly supporting Wisconsin farmers since 2001.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek for this year's Farm Technology Days, Generations of Progress. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There's also a rotary parlor, seminars, and, of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy. From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The Make Our Children Healthy Again strategy will come out from the MAHA Commission on August 12th. Brian Glenn is the Director of Government Affairs for the American Farm Bureau Federation. He says Farm Bureau submitted its policy recommendations centering around improving the farmer's ability to meet the needs of a healthy America.
To keep affordable, nutritious food on Americans' tables, farmers need the tools to protect crops and promote sustainability. So our recommendations really focus on four big buckets, including advancing American innovation, smart regulatory reform measures to support farmers and ranchers, public investments in agricultural research, and support for access to effective pesticide tools.
Brian says America's farmers and the MAHA Commission share the same goal of a healthy America. That's why farmers need to engage on the issue.
Farmers and ranchers rely on technology and innovative tools to provide a safe, abundant, and affordable food supply. It is important that the commission listen to farmers and ranchers to ensure the commission's recommendations and the strategies they come out with are grounded in science and informed by farmer and rancher experiences.
Brian Glenn is the Director of Government Affairs for the American Farm Bureau Federation, speaking out ahead of the release of the Make Our Children Healthy Again strategy that's expected to be released August 12th. Now let's take a look at how markets are shaping up coming out of the weekend. From Chicago, cash corn is trading a penny lower at 388.5. December new crop corn down a penny and a quarter at 409.5. Cash beans are down a penny and a quarter at 968.25. November new crop beans down a penny and a half at 987.75. And new crop wheat is down 2.75 cents at 514 a bushel. Wisconsin Farm Technology Days kicks off Tuesday and goes through Thursday up in Bear Creek, Wisconsin at Clinton Farms. And while that's the place to see the latest in farm technology, it's also going to bring a lot of fun for the family. Ben Jarbo has the story next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Baby bald eagles near the Great Lakes are testing positive for PFAS and other toxic chemicals. Researchers found that eagles living near the Great Lakes had six times more toxic chemicals in their bloodstreams than inland populations. Other chemicals found in the baby eagles' bloodstreams were DDT and PCBs, which were banned decades ago. A small Wisconsin school district just got some big clean energy bragging rights. The Elva Strum School District in Trempealeau County unveiled 184 ground mount solar panels that will deliver about 20% of the district's energy needs and will be a living classroom for students to learn about solar energy and energy data. The installation cost $150,000 and will pay for itself through energy bill savings in about 8 years. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday morning, Up North News reporter Selena Heller will talk to Jimmy Cuska, Jane Mattiner.
And me.
Oh, that's Dr. Kristen Lierley. She'll be here too.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Options for attendees this year, as well as how the host farms help dictate what is brought in for this agriculture-centric show.
This year's show, we're excited to feature the latest and greatest in dairy because we are excited to finally have Farm Technology Days back on a dairy farm in Wisconsin. So our Innovation Square will really be featuring the latest and greatest technology that is displayed here at Clinton's. Wakato will be there. Fox City's Builders will be there. A lot of what's being built for the future in the dairy industry. So you can catch that at Innovation Square. We're also excited to welcome a lot of big names in the entertainment space as far as ag goes here in Wisconsin, and we'll be having the Peterson Farm Brothers. They will be coming and presenting in the Rural Mutual Event Center stage on Wednesday of the show. They'll be singing some of their parody videos that are very well known as well. So you'll have to make sure to catch two of the three Peterson Farm Brothers on stage on Wednesday. Kicking us off on Tuesday, August 5th, we're excited to have Will McKinley from Menlaw and Peggy Coffeen from Uplevel Dairy. They are hosting a lighthearted conversation on family and transition planning, which is usually a little bit of a heavier topic, but they're going to make it fun. So definitely something, if you're a farm family that wants to learn a little bit more about that, get some free legal advice, come and check that out on Tuesday. And lastly, on Thursday, we're having a live show from Ag's Most OKS Farm Girl. So they'll be hosting a live podcast that'll be put out wherever you listen to podcasts after the show.
And you're saying throughout the talk here that you also have some international acts, some other unique things coming in. Could you give some more explanation on that?
Yes. So in our equine area, we're excited to feature both local talent here in Waupaca County, but also on the international level, like you said. So we are welcoming from Canada, Victoria Archer. She is a well-known trick rider. She travels all across Canada, United States, Mexico, and she is coming to Wisconsin all 3 days of the show. She is just 12 years old, and she will be performing all sorts of tricks. We're very excited to have her. The equine community is very excited to see her as well. So you can catch her. She'll be performing two acts per day all 3 days of the show.
And for those that may be first-time Farm Tech Day goers, is there any unique things that they should be looking for while they're here that might not immediately catch their eye but might be something worth checking out?
Yes, so unique this year are farm tours that'll be going actually inside of Clinton Farm. So you'll be able to see their new rotary parlor. You'll be able to go into freestyle barns. There'll be tour guides giving you a great tour, letting you know everything that the Clinton family and their team does to take care of their cows, their animals. Like I said before, back to our roots here with Farm Technology Days on a dairy farm. So that is huge. If you want to learn more about where your food comes from, if you want to have a fun day with the kids, have them see some cows, some calves, this is a great way to do that. And with the kids as well, we have the Greenstone Tot Zone here on the grounds that is located in Tent City. So there's something to do for the littles if you bring them along too. Lots to play with, some shade, some water. And we also, four new moms will have a station for changing, for feeding, all of that. So really family-friendly event here at Farm Technology Days.
And Extension is no longer part of the Farm Tech Days. How has that changed trying to set this up and be able to get the entertainment you want for the event?
Yeah, so here in Waupaca County, we no longer have an extension agent that focuses in the agriculture field. So we've really had to rely on local connections and really rely on volunteer support and donations. And it's really been great to see the community come out and support this from all over Waupaca County and even statewide. So it's really that agriculture community coming together to put it on and keep this show going.
And you've been mentioning that having it back on a dairy farm is great because it is Wisconsin. But do you change the entertainment acts and what's at the show based off of the type of farm it's on?
Yes. So each year the show is hosted by a new committee. a new location, new farm. So it really features the certain area of the state that the show is being hosted in that certain county. So we're excited to welcome what's unique here to Waupaca County. One of the staples of Wisconsin Farm Technology Days is Mad Dog and Merrill. Again, a nationwide act and a nationwide known name. They perform every year at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days in the Rural Mutual Event Center. But what's really cool this year is that they're from right here in New London, Wisconsin. So this is their stomping grounds, their backyard. They'll be also performing and putting on their cooking show all 3 days of the show.
Well, is there any other information that you'd like to add on the entertainment side or just things that people should keep in mind when they are coming out here to Clinton Farms for the Farm Tech Days?
Yes, make sure to grab a program for the show because you really want to get the most out of your trip. If it's 1 day or 3 days, know what's going on each day. Each day offers something new and exciting and different. So make sure you grab a program, plan out your day ahead of time, look at the map, know where you're headed, and you'll be sure to make the most out of your trip here to Clinton Farms.
Another new event coming to the Farm Technology Days is a tractor pull on Wednesday night put together by fourth generation farmer at Clinton Farms, Peyton Griepentrog. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Thank you, Ben. And we'll look forward to seeing you there Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday this week. Thanks for tagging along with us on a Monday morning for the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
How to save someone overcome by heat stroke, today on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health Campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community, and while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. A lot of farm work is done in blistering heat, and if heat stroke occurs, it can be fatal. Dr. Douglas Casa says in cases of heat stroke, start cooling the victim fast.
You have 30 minutes to get someone's body temperature under 104. So from the moment someone shows signs and symptoms of a heat stroke, if we want to assure survivability, we got to somehow get their temperature, which might be 108, 109, 110 at the start, under 104. And the cool first transport second is a key part of that because we have to take advantage of the minutes right after it takes place and not depend on care that's going to happen at the hospital when it comes to cooling.
CASA heads the Corey Stringer Institute at the University of Connecticut, which focuses on the health, safety, and performance of athletes, warfighters, and laborers.
Heat stroke that happens related to exertion, so in athletic, occupational, military space, is 100% survivable. It has been 100% survivable in over 3,000 cases we have tracked if the person's body temperature gets under 104 within 30 minutes of the presentation of the condition.
That, says CASA, is why cooling takes precedent over immediate transport to a care facility. A 2015 study suggests that farm workers are 35 times more likely to die from heat stroke than workers in other industries. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman will join us to break down all the weekend news. We go beyond the cheese with Poppy Bakery. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
That sound? It's your recycling at work. And you can thank a Wisconsin woman for making it happen. Millie Zantow saw a waste sorting system in Japan during a trip in the 1970s. She came home to Prairie du Sac in Sauk County inspired. Her research led to the triangle-numbered plastic recycling system we still use today. So can you guess what percent of all the plastics produced in the United States ends up being recycled? 75%? 25%? Or 5%? The answer coming up. Zantow also helped with Wisconsin's recycling laws, along with the opening of one of the first collection centers. But now, are you surprised to learn the answer is just 5% of plastics are recycled? It's according to the group Beyond Plastic. Yet Zantow always believed you don't have to be perfect, you just have to start. There's a smart slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Texas Governor Greg Abbott says he will try to remove the Democratic lawmakers from office who left the state if they don't return. They left and are now in Illinois, strongly protesting the rare mid-decade redistricting backed by President Trump. Democratic lawmaker Chris Turner.
They are engaged in an illegal act of intentional discrimination by tearing apart majority-minority congressional districts across our state. And we are not going to stand for it.
The search goes on for an Army vet believed to have shot and killed four people at the local bar he frequented in Anaconda, Montana, Friday night. Hot, dry weather fueling more wildfires in the West as fire season continues. Humanitarian airdrops continue in southern Gaza, even as aid groups say the recent changes in delivery of food and medicine have only been incremental. Food experts continuing to warn the worst-case scenario of famine is playing out in Gaza. This is ABC News.